Good morning and happy Mother's Day. We've heard that a lot this morning, haven't we? Well, I just want to take a few minutes and just share with y'all and to encourage you as mothers and even the women that aren't mothers. I want to speak some encouragement into your lives today. And I wanted to start with a scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And when I was reading that, the word workmanship really just jumped right out at me. So I went and got a big old dictionary and looked it up. And for the meaning of workmanship, it said one word, skilled. And that was it. And but then I looked what the Greek people used to say instead of workmanship. They said work of art. And when I saw that work of art, that really started speaking to me. I can look around in here and see that there are many, many of you that do a lot of art things. And maybe sometimes we don't think it's art, but cooking, cleaning your house can be an art, believe it or not. And painting or pottery, making jewelry. I know there are some young girls in our church that make jewelry and do a great job at it. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, I know when I do paintings that I'll do something and then I'll look at it and it just doesn't seem like what I want it to look like. But then I can back off and maybe come and just put some small little detail in it, and that makes that painting what it is. And that's true in all kinds of art that you do. So as I'm looking around in the sanctuary today, I'm looking at a big group of women who I think are unique, and they are made by a detail God, and I have the privilege to and the honor to serve you and to love you and to pray for you and with you, to laugh with you and to cry with you, and then to encourage you to be all that God has called you to be. And I think we serve a very detailed God. We can look around in his creation, and it's very detailed. So, women, I want to say you are a detailed creation from God. And today we are celebrating Mother's Day. And there are some of you that may be here today that say, but I'm not a mom. But growing up, and I haven't heard this little phrase in a long time, but I used to hear people talk about mothers in the faith. And I kind of wondered, you know, exactly what they were talking about. Well, I want to say to you, mom, to you ladies that maybe haven't had any children, you can be a mother in the faith. Just like in the physical, we have a child, and what do we have to do? We have to nourish that child. We have to teach that child. We have to encourage that child as they begin to grow up. So as a mother in faith, when you see someone that's become a new Christian, you can do the same thing. You can nourish that baby Christian. You can walk them through a lot of things. The main thing is you can pray for them and walk alongside of them. So I just want to encourage you, and really all of us, even if we have children, we can still be mothers in the faith. That is a very big honor for us. And a few days ago, I had read something, an article, and it was called Amazing Women. And I want to read that to you today because I think when you hear these different things that they're talking about, you're going to say, hey, that's me. I've been there and done that. Or either you're going there and going to do it. So I want to read that to you. It says, a woman is not just a person, she's a miracle. Like a cosmic shapeshifter of Star Trek, she can transform into anything she needs in an instant. The men probably say amen. She can turn into a nurse at the site of a scraped knee. In larger emergencies, she becomes a paramedic. When trouble comes or enemy attacks, she becomes a fortress and a prayer warrior. She can snap her fingers and change into a little league coach, a Girl Scout leader, a homeroom mother, a corporate executive, a Sunday school teacher, a playmate, a seamstress, a play director, or a volunteer for something that she has a passion for. She is all in the same day, a cook, a taxi driver, a boardroom presenter, a maid, a politician, and a referee. And all the ladies said amen. She can be a shrewd merchant at a garage sale, a speaker at the PTA, a delightful storyteller at the daycare center, and a military genius in organizing the neighborhood against crime. In an instant, she can emerge as Cinderella ready for the ball and waltz out the door on the arm of her Prince Charming, like I do. And I can be ready in an instant. She is often the spiritual heart of the home, guiding, encouraging, leading, teaching, and praying. What an awesome opportunity we have. She is God's hand and feet, his laughter and joy, his tears and sorrow. She is the heart of God personified. There's no doubt about it. A woman is not just a person. She is a miracle. I just thought that was so good because it just covered so many things that women are. Whether you're a mother or not, you still saw yourself in some of that, I'm sure. And have you ever just woke up one morning and thought, today I wish I could be somebody else just for a few days with no responsibilities? That sounds good, but I think if we really thought about it, wouldn't you miss a day with no responsibilities? You need to be who you are and who God's called you to be. You are an amazing creation. You're creative. You're needed. You're very capable, and you're blessed and very loved. So I just think that says to us, be who we're supposed to be, not someone else. And, you know, I can stand up here and tell you little things and encourage you, say little encouraging words, but there's nothing as encouraging to me as God's word is. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And I just think if we do that, if we love God with everything that's in us, we're going to be able in turn to love our husbands, our children, and all people the way that God has called us to love them. And another scripture that we've all heard many times that really says a lot to me is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And if I could encourage you in any way today, I would say to you, God has a purpose for every one of you, and he has a plan for every one of you. So today I just want to say, ladies, let's rise up and be the women that God has called us to be and do everything that he's called us to be and do.
As you can see, we like the old-fashioned microphones and not the other way around. But thank you, Janice. That was wonderful. Yes, I am a mother and a grandmother, and I'm so excited today that the Lord put us together to share because we women need each other. And it was just so exciting this morning because, you know, if you think we don't get nervous, we do get nervous. But it was so nice when Janice and I met this morning and we knew God had given us a word to share and we are ready to share. But before I say anything else, since I have the microphone, it's my turn to say some things. You know how Terry a few weeks ago, if you remember, he was talking about folding towels and making beds and saying how he doesn't think that I like the way he folds and how he doesn't think that I like the way he makes the bed. But let me tell you something. If he wants to, he folds the best towels. He makes the bed exactly like I like it. He gets on the other side and does it. And he also, well, this one, I have to say, we're working on it, is harmonizing. When I start singing and he tries to harmonize, and we're working on that. But he is a wonderful husband, and I want to say I'm standing here with his covering. I'm here because he has asked me to share, and I have his blessing, so I'm going to be free and just share this morning. But I love my husband, and he is the best gift the Lord has given me. thinking about, I have two grandmothers that are with the Lord now, and I was thinking about I could share about each of them and amazing things that I learned from them. And one of them, I learned how to be a prayer warrior, and I'm still learning that because she was always praying. It seemed like when I spent the night with her, she would be on her knees and I would fall asleep. And then when I would wake up, she would still be on her knees, and I thought my grandmother never slept. This was my dad's mom. But actually, later I found out she would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray, so I would think that she stayed up all night. But my other grandmother, my mom's mom, I want to be like her. Now that I'm a grandmother, I just want to be like her. She was such a peaceful woman. Everything, she took it as calm, and I'm working on that. But I'm not going to share about my grandmothers. I could share about my mom and my mother-in-law. I have two moms that I've learned so much from, and just amazing woman of God that she shares her, she opens her mouth with wisdom, my mother-in-law. And my mom, I have watched her through the years, and I've told people, I know my mom knows the secret of the secret place. When she goes into the secret place to pray, she comes out ready to face her day. And it doesn't matter, yes, there have been storms in our life, in our family, but my mom knows how to pray and stand with the Lord's help during the day to go through those things. But I'm not going to talk about my mothers. And then there are two new moms in my life that I'm watching almost every day. And that's Jennifer and Alyssa, my daughter and my daughter-in-law. And what a sweet picture. I was walking to church this morning and I met a new mom, Caitlin, and I don't know where she's sitting, but she has a 4-month-old. And just watching a new mom with the babies. And I watched Jennifer and Alyssa. It doesn't matter how much Rylan and Elijah love me or Terry, or he says they love him more than me. It doesn't matter when their moms are around. They have eyes only for their moms. And it's so beautiful to watch that. But I'm not going to talk about them. Today, I'm going to talk about someone that we're going to learn from. And I have learned from so many times when I read about her in the Word of God. And it's the mother of Jesus. How much we can learn from her. And just this week, as I sat and started reading again, it was like so much, and I know I don't have a lot of time. We could be maybe have a whole weekend talking about the mother of Jesus and what we can learn from her. But I feel like the Lord put it on my heart. And this morning as I was praying, I said, Lord, you know her more than I. That was your mom on this earth. He became a child. He became a human being and had a mother just like you and I. And today, I'm going to talk about things that we can relate with her, we can learn from her, and also we can walk out from here and say, if she endured that with the Lord's help, if she endured that, or if she did that, I am able to do that. And we're going to start the sermon or whatever the Lord has put on my heart. I want to start with Luke 1:38. And this is when we hear her for the first time. After the angel Gabriel came, I'm going to stay in Luke 1 and 2 with the message. And in Luke 1, we see Gabriel come to her and says, you highly favored by God, blessed by God, found favor with God. In Luke 1:28 and 30, she was favored by the Lord. The Lord just didn't pick just anyone. I believe, you know, a lot of times we think that it was maybe a young girl, maybe 12, 13, 14. I don't know. We never will be able to tell until we get to heaven. But I believe she knew the word. Why? Because somewhere in there we're going to read what she says. And I believe that she was knowledgeable about things of God. And you know what was amazing to me this week? I realized she was part of the Old Testament because the angel came to her and spoke to her, and she believed in God, and she believed the children of Israel, the Lord had brought them to the promised land, and she had watched and she had listened and she had learned about God from her mom. But then all of a sudden, she becomes part of the New Testament. Because when Jesus is born, we will see she was in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. So we're going to, I'm jumping up a little bit, but I'm jumping around, but we're going to start with after the angel told her, and I love this about Mary. First, we're going to find out who Mary was. Because when God came to Moses, Moses argued with the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to send you to free my people. God appeared to him in the burning bush. And imagine the Lord comes to you and does something so miraculous and so awesome and even fear compelling in your heart. But imagine you saying, well, no, Lord, you know, I really can't do that. Imagine, I mean, you might argue with your mom and dad, but who argues with God when he tells you something to do? But we all do that. I'm not saying Moses was just one of a kind. We do. Sometimes he tells you something to do and you try to say, well, Lord, is that really you? Or is that just me? Or please, Lord, show me. Or, you know, have you done that? I have. Yeah. And Moses argued with the Lord until the Lord said, okay, you say you can't talk. Okay, you stutter. Okay, all these things. The Lord knew all these things, but he chose Moses. And so Moses, I was looking at him. I looked at Sarah. She heard that she was going to have a baby. And what did she do? She laughed. Because it wasn't like she was being funny. She laughed. She just laughed because that was just too unbelievable. And then we look at Jonah. What did he do? The Lord told him something to do. And he tried to run away from the Lord. Where can you run from the Lord? And his eyes. I mean, the Lord saw him right there. And then he said, the people were in the boat and he said, I am the reason the storm is, you know, if you throw me in the, and they tried to throw away everything else and they finally decided, okay, let's throw Jonah out. But he came back and did what God told him to do. But here is Mary. The only thing she said, how is this possible? Because she was knowledgeable enough. And in my culture, you don't get knowledgeable enough about a lot of things till you're a bit older. You know, I see these 11, 12-year-old girls and they're dating. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, they go to the mall and they're dating. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, at 11, 12 years old, they should be studying and maybe noticing boys. But, you know, and that's my old culture. And I know my daughter and son probably don't want me to go there. But I believe she was at an age where she knew some things because she said, how is that possible? And she was engaged. It says she was a spouse to Joseph. But then once she knew, the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. And she knew that. This is what we hear. Luke 1:38. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I see total surrender at what God wanted her to be. And right now, you as a mother, the Lord has chosen you. It says, John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you to go and be my witnesses. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. But it's like John 15:16 reminds us that we are all chosen. Mary was chosen for an incredible work of the Lord. When we can't even comprehend what she stood for and what happened when she was pregnant in a culture like that or in any culture. Just to come pregnant and then say, this is from the Lord. But she was telling the truth. She was there because God had chosen her. Well, God has chosen you to be a mother. It was not by accident. It was not by private, like whatever. It just happened. I believe God has chosen you and he has a purpose for you because he has chosen us for a purpose. And so today, I want to learn that from here. I want to learn that, and when the Lord calls you for something, you can say, yes, Lord. Total surrender to His will. Total surrender to say, yes, Lord, this is an incredible gift you've given me, and I totally surrender to you. And the second thing was Mary, she was favored by the Lord, but I have a friend here in church. Whenever I ask her, how are you doing? She'll say, I'm highly favored by the Lord. And I'm blessed going out and blessed coming in. Because we are. We are favored by the Lord. That doesn't mean that He loves you more than everybody else. He loved you enough to give His Son. That was His child. He gave His Son to die on the cross because He loves each one of us. Well, now we're going to talk about Mary as a mother. As we go on and we read in Luke 2, 19, we come where Jesus is born. We're in Bethlehem. The angels hear about it. The angels tell the shepherds about it, and the shepherds come to Bethlehem to find the baby, and all these things are happening. And I love this because it says, Luke 2:19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What do you ponder on? What are some things that when no one is around, and you are thinking about, you're pondering about, what are some things that you are eating that you are thinking about and who you are? You know, in the physical, they say you are what you eat. And I'm so glad I'm not an apple because I eat a lot of apples. But you know what they mean. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy things, you become healthy. But in the spiritual, it's even more so. Whatever you eat, whatever you are dwelling on, whatever you're thinking on is coming out of your mouth. What are some of the things that you're pondering on? Think about it right now. What are some things that when you're in the car by yourself, what are some things when you're by yourself you're thinking on? And she would ponder on those things because they said such things about this baby, and she knew such things that the Lord was going to do because the angel had already told her, this child is going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. You are going to carry the Son of the living God. And so she knew these things. So she was thinking about these things when Jesus was born. How amazing is that? You know, one of the things, and Janice mentioned this, is God's Word. That's what we need to constantly fill ourselves with. So that when we come across people, the only thing you can encourage them with is God's Word. Like she said, the verses that she gave would be food for you where you can eat it and ponder on and keep it in your heart. And then the next time you're going through a storm or you're going through something or someone is going through something, when you open your mouth, it's not going to be the bad words or the angry words or things, but it's going to be God's Word coming out. And I'd rather be a fanatic about that. I'd rather people say, well, you know, she always talks about the Word. I'd rather do that than leave someone and they say, you know, we just talked about whatever. Because God's Word will change hearts. God's Word will bring healing. God's Word is manna every morning He gives us, just like He did to children of Israel. He gave them the manna every morning, and He gave them what they needed for their day. So don't take the manna of today and try to go through tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own evil, the Lord said. Think on these things today. Get your word from the Lord today and use it for your day. The manna for today. And we see in Luke 1, I wanted to see this part where she opens her mouth and she says, my soul rejoices in the God of my salvation. My heart rejoices. And then she says, He brings the lowly up and He brings the high down. And she says, for He had regarded the low state of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His name. This was someone that knew the Lord. This was someone that had pondered God's word. For He that is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is His name. And then it goes on to say, and His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. These are the words that were coming out. And then in Luke 2:52, we read, Jesus grew with wisdom and stature. Now, of course, with our children, we don't have anything to do with how tall they get, how big they get, how they grow as a baby, how they grow, you know, but you feed them and they will grow. That part just happens to be what God is doing in them. But the wisdom, yes, you pray for wisdom. It comes from the Lord. But as a mother, you are teaching them. So I believe that Jesus was taught at the knees of Mary. Mary would teach him the things of the Lord. Yes, we don't understand because at 12 years old, he stood in the temple and he was teaching and he was speaking to the priests and the Pharisees and all of them. But I believe that he grew with wisdom at the feet of, at the knees of his mom, because she taught him things of the world, things of the Lord, things that he needed to know, the child needs to learn at the knees of a mother. If you have a child now at any age, start teaching them the word. Start reading them the word, even if they don't understand it. Jennifer and I, we started reading the word when she was 1 month old. We marked the Bible, and at 16 years old, she and Benjamin had joined us when we were still in Genesis. So you can imagine, because he came along 17 months later, so we were still in Genesis with Jennifer. We were just reading a little part every day I would read to her. And God's word is what I planted into my children. Because it says, heaven and earth will pass away. It's in Matthew. He says, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So what better thing to plant into your child is his word. God's word that's going to go forth, be planted in there. And Terry reminded me of that verse, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go. It's a bent. They have a certain, God has chosen our children for a purpose. Yes, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts, the Lord says. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So he has plans and thoughts for your children. All you're doing is directing them in the way that they should go. You're teaching them. But as a mom, what an opportunity. What an awesome responsibility. It is a very heavy responsibility to be a mom. I mean, we laugh and we talk about when we watch that video where the little boy, you know, he said, Mom, and I know you go to bed too when you're tired and when I'm sleeping. And how many of you just stayed up all through the night sometimes about things? And they would wake up all through the night and you said, oh, just one night, Lord. Let me sleep just one night. And we do now pretty much, but anyways. But what a heavy responsibility we have from the Lord. And Mary had the wisdom to teach Jesus. And Luke 2:52, as I said, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And then they bring him to, from Bethlehem, they bring him to Jerusalem. And they bring him to the temple. And they present him. They dedicate him to the Lord as the custom was. And that's what we do when we bring our babies to dedicate to the Lord. And you know, the Lord reminds you of that. I remember being in Birmingham with the women and we were at a conference and the speaker was talking about the arrows that we have in our hands and that the Lord said, let go of them. And I at that moment, Benjamin had just graduated from college and he had told us he wanted to go to India. And as a mom, I had never been to India and I have never been to India. So I didn't want him to go to India. So I had gone to this conference and I was really in my heart struggling with letting go of my son and he's going to go to India. And this lady on the platform, Priscilla Shire, was holding the arrow and she looked and there was 44,000 people there. And I was sitting way over there with the ladies and she was looking and she looked straight around where we were sitting and she said, you're holding on to that arrow like this. Let go. Let go of that arrow so God can launch it. You launch an arrow, right, Kenny? So the Lord can launch that arrow. And I thought, the Lord was speaking straight to me because that's what I was doing. I wanted to keep my son. I didn't want him to go anywhere except safe places. College, back home, and anywhere that mama felt like it was safe. But you know what? The Lord gave me a son that would just go wherever the Lord told him to go. So when she said, we're going to pray now, I knelt down. And the first thing the Lord brought to my mind, I saw it as a picture. I was a 7-year-old girl kneeling at an altar in Beirut, Lebanon, at Salem Evangelistic Center, giving my heart to the Lord. And the Lord said, you are mine. You gave your heart, your life to me. And then it went forward, and I saw Terry and I standing here with Jennifer and Benjamin as a baby, dedicating him to the Lord. It was just amazing. God was just showing me pictures. And it was like because we dedicated Jennifer and Benjamin to the Lord. So what are we doing? We are giving them to the Lord. And we think that you just a day, you look cute, your children look cute, and you come up and you pray and you just dedicate them to the Lord. Guess what? He will remind you of that one day. Because he said, remember that? He is mine already. I have work for him to do. And as a mom, that was the hardest thing to do. I said, okay, Lord, he's yours. Wherever you send him, wherever you go, he goes. Wherever you tell him to go to do, just like when I gave my heart to you. And when you say go, I will go. And so I said, okay, Lord, I give him to you. And so at that moment, the Lord reminded me, and that's what they were doing with Jesus. Guess what? He belonged to God already. It was God's son. But they did what was the custom and what Mary and Joseph had learned. They dedicated him to the Lord. So how much more us? I learned a lot from that, that she obeyed. She obeyed things she had learned from the Word of God. She obeyed them. And then when we see Mary again, it's in Luke 2:33. In the temple, when they came to Simeon was a prophet or somebody that was in the temple, and he was waiting for the salvation of the Lord. And he takes this child and he says, this child will be Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and that's us, and the glory of your people Israel. And then in verse 34, I believe that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then she heard the most difficult thing in Luke 2:35. Simeon looks at Mary and says, yes, a sword shall pierce through your soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I believe that must have been one of the hardest things a mom could hear. One of the most difficult things a mom could hear. That whatever this child was for, it was going to pierce her heart with a sword. That means she was going to die as well. In the spiritual, or not in the spiritual, but just in the heart of a person, that whatever was going to happen to her child. But she and Joseph marveled at these things. Do you marvel at what God is doing in your children? Do you watch them? Do you pray for them and then marvel at what God is doing in them and pray that God's will be done in your children? Not the will of man, not the will of what they're expected to do, but what God has called your child for. Pray for that. Because you as a mother has a big responsibility. And I'm going to finish with this one. Because this one was very new to me. And that this point was where when the angel came to Mary, she said, how is this going to happen? And the angel said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, And you will have a child that's going to bring glory to God. He's going to be the Son of God. But the Holy Spirit will do this. So Mary had the Holy Spirit come upon her. But then we go to Acts chapter 1. And it's very amazing because it very clearly says in Acts 1, 12 to 14. They returned. This is after Jesus went up to heaven. The disciples were there. They saw him go up in the clouds. And the angel said, the same Jesus that went up is going to come down in the same way. And I believe the coming of the Lord is very close. So it says, what kind of life should we live when we know the coming of the Lord is so close? And so they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Guess where she was? She was in the upper room after Jesus had gone up to heaven with the disciples. And she's there, and the Bible, it never says a sentence just to fill up the book. You know how when you're writing a book, you try to, like, the chapter maybe, or if you're writing something for class, you try to finish up how many lines the teacher said you should do. But I believe God's word, which in Armenian we say, it's the breath of God. Astvadzashunch. In English you say the Holy Bible, but in Armenian it's Astvadzashunch. It is the breath of God. He spoke it. He breathed it into people and they wrote it by the Holy Spirit. This Bible tells me that Mary was in the upper room and with his brethren. The brothers of Jesus that had not believed on him at first, they were there as well. Because this mother had done her work. She had taught them God's word. And then when they saw this happening, his brothers believed him also. But Mary was waiting for the Holy Spirit as well. Because Jesus said, do not depart until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, if she had the Holy Spirit already, but she knew that this Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I go, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to stress that for you. It is not easy what we go through. As moms, we have our joyful times, we have our sad times. We have our angry times and we have our calm times. We have our peaceful times and then you come out and you can turn into someone else if they are doing something that is wrong. So we have our moments, but you know what? The only thing that's going to help you through decisions, through things you're going to do about your children is the Holy Spirit. And if Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? And so they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And I wanted to stress that. And then we go to Acts 2, 1 and 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of them that the Bible had already mentioned with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were again all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So to me, I see a very important thing right now. That Mary needed the Holy Spirit to continue. Her son was gone, but she had other children. But she had her life to continue. Without the Holy Spirit, I cannot go one moment. I don't even want to say one day. Because sometimes without the Holy Spirit, I cannot go one moment. We need the Holy Spirit. And I had asked Nick if he would come. And this little chorus that kept coming to me this week over and over. And it's a very simple chorus. And some of you might know it. I just want us to sing this. I want us to all stand. And I want us to sing it. And it's not going to be just for moms. But I want everybody to say, Lord, I open my heart. I need you, Lord. I need you today. I need you, Holy Spirit, for life, to live. I need you. And it's talking about being a sanctuary, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to finish up with this song and pray for the Holy Spirit as mothers, as women, as men, as children, as young people, that the Holy Spirit will come and fill us so that we can go through life. We know we are chosen. We know He's called us for a purpose. But with His Holy Spirit teaching us, comforting us, His Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin. His Holy Spirit does His work like no other. And Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. So we need Him right now. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. We pray right now, Lord, that you said you will send your Holy Spirit. It's a gift, Lord, from the Father. And you want us to live life the way you have planned us. Just like Janice said, Lord, we are a workmanship prepared for good works. And you're the one doing that work in us, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, come. Come and live and abide in us in everything that you want us to do so we can say, yes, Lord. Just like Mary, we can say, here is your handmaiden. Do unto us as you want, Lord. We want to surrender it all to you this morning. And thank you, Lord, for making us mothers in the faith, making us mothers in the home, mothers to people that need to hear your word, Lord. As we plant, as we plant, as we plant your word, Lord, let it go forth and bring forth fruit. In Jesus, your name we ask of the Father. Amen.